Hey, welcome to Big Blend Radio. You know, every fourth Thursday we get super excited. Nancy and I love this. We get to go on the Jefferson Highway virtually. We love traveling the highway. We haven't done all of it because you know what? It goes from Winnipeg to New Orleans or from New Orleans to Winnipeg. And there's so many amazing places. There's so much history to experience. There's a whole ton of food. There's parks and nature. There's history. There's just so many stories. It's insane. And we've been doing this podcast for over a year now. I think two. I can't. I don't know. I don't. Almost a year and a half. Almost 2 years. And we do this every fourth Thursday in conjunction with the Jefferson Highway Association. And if it wasn't for the Jefferson Highway Association, this highway wouldn't have been built. Started back in 1915, which was all spearheaded by the editor of Better Homes and Garden magazine, because he understood that people moving up and down a highway meant tourism for farming communities. And
right.
We all understand we want a good road trip, and road trips are back, baby. And this is a good one. And today we're going to go virtually to Louisiana. Nancy, we love this state, don't we? We absolutely adore Louisiana. And we're going to go to Natchitoches, Louisiana. We're going to go to Alexandria. We're going to go to New Orleans. We've got some amazing guests. And everyone, jeffersonhighway.org. Rogers Bell, the president's normally here, is not with us tonight. But he wants us to promote that website, jeffersonhighway.org. Feel free to become a member. So let's start off with one of the board members, Arlene Gould, who got us involved with the Jefferson Highway because she's good like that. And she's also the executive director of the Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau. And Natchitoches is the oldest city in Louisiana and one of our most favorite cities on the planet. Everywhere we've been in the world, this is one of our favorite cities. It doesn't feel like a city, but it is the oldest city in the state of Louisiana, the first French settlement. So Natchitoches.com is the website, which is Natchitoches.com. Did I get it right, Arlene?
You got it.
Yeah, lots of practice, but welcome back. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for having us on tonight to talk about Jefferson Highway and a few stories in time for Halloween season.
Yes, cool. We're doing hauntings, not just Louisiana, just on the travel side. We're talking about some haunted history on a highway. You know, we've all heard those stories like a ghost appears over a bridge. Well, over in Louisiana, it might be a bayou bridge that you're driving over and some, you know, little lady just steps out in front of your car. The vision, this, this like hologram like woman or girl, and you stop and then she's not there. Don't go over the bridge. There's alligators down there. But we're going to talk about some really cool haunted history. Arlene, Natchitoches, you guys were the host of one of the very first conferences for the Highway Association in respect of modern times, not back in the 19, or maybe there was one back then. I don't know.
I'm not sure if there was, but in 2019, Natchitoches was proud to host the international conference for the Jefferson Highway Association. And we had a great time introducing so many travelers. I think we had people from 12 different states, three different countries. And one of our beloved community members, Miss Sadie Dark, she was probably 98 years old. She was at the conference and just is bringing, you know, just delightful. Wow. And she had wrote a scrapbook when she was at Northwestern University that is still at Northwestern University. It's copyrighted, but it was a scrapbook that she and her brother, Mr. Buddy Maggio, had helped her with. And so, we recognize Miss Sadie, but Natchitoches has some wonderful stories and some wonderful people. And we're very happy to sponsor this show for Jefferson Highway and look forward to the conference coming back to Louisiana in April of 2024, next year in Alexandria, Louisiana. So, if those interested in coming, make plans. Mark your calendar, April 24th through the 27th in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Just cool.
Hop, skip, and a jump from Natchitoches, less than an hour away.
And not far even from New Orleans, your home city. We're going to be talking about New Orleans, too. But in Natchitoches, we're going to go over to NSU and welcome Shane Krepel. Welcome, Shane. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Thank you very much. Excited to talk about one of the oldest traditions and stories that we have at the university. So looking forward to
Ooh.
sharing some spooky stuff with everybody this evening.
We love that. And I
Aww.
believe that your campus, you also had a tourist camp back in the day. You know, before you were born, tourists were hanging out on the campus and camped
Yes,
there.
yes. I think where the site of the current library is, that area was the location for that tourist camp.
Wow. So they
Wow.
were car camping back in the day, like really hanging out and just driving. And you got to think back to 1915, 1920, 30s, like driving in those cars that don't have air conditioning like we have now, and everybody getting in and then saying, "Hey, let's pull over. That looks like a nice tourist camp. Let's go camping." Arlene, seriously, that's amazing, right? When you think about
Right.
how.
And that tourist camp, we actually dedicated a sign there recently to mark the spot where the tourist camp was. And it actually opened in July of 1922. So just over 100 years ago, it was a tourist
Wow.
camp. So, yeah.
I
Did
love
I have
it.
the
I love it.
location right, Arlene?
I'm sorry?
Did I have the location right?
You do. It's directly in
Oh,
front. The
good.
sign dedication is right where the Watson Library stands today. That is correct.
Awesome.
Ooh, it's so cool. It's so cool. I mean, yeah, I just love
Awesome.
these travel stories. And I'm especially, you know what? Universities, dorms, campuses always have a ghost. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So everybody stay tuned. We also have Shirley Ingram from Alexandria, from the Alexandria Pineville, Louisiana's convention visitor and bureau. You can go to alexandriapinevillela.com. Welcome back, Shirley. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, and it is a delight to be back with you all, and get a chance to talk about the Jefferson Highway again, and about some of our resident ghosts and hauntings here in central Louisiana. We have some interesting stories about some people who were just a bit of a renegade, the spots on a leopard just don't change much. If you're a renegade when you're young, you are when you're older too. And I'm going to tell you a story about William Lloyd, who was the builder of Lloyd Hall Plantation. If we're ready to get into the stories.
Well, not yet. Not yet. We got to bring another
Not
guest
yet.
on. So, but you got, I
Okay.
know that is some crazy history. Nancy and I have been to Lloyd Plantation, thanks to you. And I want to tell you, though, that we did go to the Bayou Rapide Cemetery, which I believe is a National Historic Landmark as well. And
Yes, it is.
when we first came to Alexandria the very first time, so I think it was 2013, 2014, when we went to Natchitoches,
Right.
same visit. And you know that I couldn't get out of the back seat of the car. I got stuck in my seatbelt thing, held me in. Do you know that? Like, what do you think?
No, I did not know that. Yes.
Yeah, and
Wow.
they had
Wonder
we
what
had
ghost
to
was at work there.
we were right
Yeah.
outside the Boyd Cemetery section,
That
where
was
the
funny.
founder of Boyd, the town Boyd, was there.
Wow.
He's got like a little fenced off family area
Right.
of the cemetery. And I mean, I don't know. He's like, "You're staying in your car. You ain't getting out and taking photos of us. Get out." But then I got out
Get
and I was
on your
fine.
way.
I know.
Very interesting.
I know. I
I'll
always
have to
think,
find out
ooh.
more about those characters when they were alive. I know
They
the
did.
ladies that run that cemetery, and they know most of their character, their people who are buried, and they know about their families. So I'll be
And
checking that one out.
yeah, that was it. Because you have a soldier from the Revolution War buried in there too, as I recall.
Yes, we
And
do.
yeah, that's a very historic cemetery. And then Natchitoches, Arlene, what? You've got the oldest cemetery in the Louisiana Purchase, right? Am I getting that right this
Yes,
time?
the American Cemetery. It's right there in the historic district near the original site of the fort, Fort Saint Jean Baptiste, from the early 1700s. But it's actually a beautiful cemetery.
It
Really,
is beautiful.
and part of Steel Magnolias was filmed in there. Just saying,
it
and
was.
And the movie itself was filmed in Natchitoches, so folks should know about that. I want to bring our next guest on is Kathleen Walls. You hear her on Big Blend Radio now, and she's a travel writer and author. She's been on our show actually quite a few times, and we always talk about alligators, but today we're going to talk about ghosts. Go to her website, katiewalls.com. It's K-A-T-Y, katiewalls.com for her book. She writes a lot of travel guides, novels, some mysteries, some true crime. But today, she's going to touch on some ghost stories from New Orleans. But welcome back, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. And how many ghost books do you have now? Are these stories like from your travels?
I have three that are focused on the ghost stories. And the Hosmith Ghost is all of the Southeast. So it has some New Orleans ghost stories in it. And I have two favorite ones there. One is the Voodoo Museum, which was started by a former brother-in-law of mine. And actually, the man who's running it today is also a former brother-in-law. And the St. Rock Cemetery, which everybody misses because it's not out there in the French Quarter. But it's got my favorite ghost story there.
One of my favorites. And Host with Ghosts, I like that. Because that also gets into bed and breakfast, right?
Right. Well, I focused on either bed and breakfast or a hotel. And then from there, branched out to tell all of the other stuff in that city that has ghost stories, and worked in a few things that don't quite have ghost stories. But the big focus is on the ghost stories in the hotel. Monteleone was the hotel that I focused on in New Orleans. But so many of them do have ghost stories besides Monteleone.
Okay. Yeah, because ghosts like to be around other people, and it's warmer in a hotel than outside. So they're like, come on in.
They could mess with you. I know. And, you know, but that's the thing. Bed and breakfast, they always have those rumors, and then you stay there and you wonder, is it going to happen? Are you going to get the bump in the night? You kind of want it. Then you go, don't do it, but you do. Deep down, you know you want that experience, even if it scares the willies off of you, you know. But Katie, let's start with that. Tell us about the one from the hotel in New Orleans.
Well, the Monteleone is one of the oldest hotels, and it's still family owned. And they had some fantastic ghost stories in there. They have at least 12 ghosts that they know of. Varying different times. One of the saddest stories there is a little boy, Maurice. And Maurice's family, his mother and father, were going to the opera. And they took a carriage, and coming home, the carriage, the horse bolted, and the father was killed instantly, and the mother died a short time later, sort of grieving. And the little boy was left, he was with the nanny at the hotel. And of course, he lived to grow up, but he always missed his parents. And the story is that the little boy, about 10 years old, is seen at the hotel on the 14th floor, which was the room they were staying in. And he's coming back, sort of searching for his family.
So he just keeps going. And
One of my other favorites there has to do with St. Rock Cemetery. And then the neat story, I bet Arlene knows this story. St. Rock Cemetery, the priest who came there was in 1874, and there was a yellow fever epidemic going on. And he promised St. Rock, if none of his parishioners died, he would build a cemetery and a chapel in St. Rock's honor. And supposedly no one in his parish died. Don't know if that's true. But anyway, after the epidemic, he built the St. Rock Cemetery. And in the very back of the cemetery, there's a chapel. And in the chapel, you go in there, and it's open to the public all the time. They never lock it. And there's prosthetic limbs, eyeballs, wheelchairs, things that people supposedly have prayed to St. Rock and were cured. And, of course, there's several ghosts probably there. But the most famous one is their ghost dog. And see this huge black dog roaming around the cemetery. And people have gotten pictures of it and videos. But when you kind of corner the dog, he disappears on you. So they kind of know he's a ghost dog. But they
don't know why
he's there or who. But he's kind of an interesting ghost.
Well, you know what? Because black dogs turn up in folklore all the time as being haunted. And
cats as well.
Black cats and black dogs. I think it's
Marie Laveau is supposedly seen very often around her house on St. Anne's Street. And sometimes she's seen as either a crow or a snake or a black cat.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Arlene, I know you're from New Orleans originally. Do any of these stories ring true from growing up there?
Yes. They do sound familiar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, especially the one from the Hotel Monteleone.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah, that's one that I'm very familiar with. And I want to say that I've been to that St. Rock church years and years and years ago. It's been a long time, but I mean, like before Katrina. So,
right. Well, everything before Katrina
exactly.
was
exactly. It's either before or after. You know, that's how we use your time now. But yeah, of course, New Orleans is full of ghost stories. I mean, just look the history. You know.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Voodoo Museum?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know Jerry Gandolfo or Charles?
Been there. Oh gosh, it's been 15, 20 years, probably 20 years since I've been there.
Well, Jerry is the younger brother. He's running it, but Charles was the one who founded it. And Charles was the most interesting person. He knew everything about 18th, 19th, 17th century New Orleans, but he probably didn't know who was president. I mean, he's like he lived in the past. And if you go to the museum today, there's a huge picture of Marie Laveau wearing the tijon, but the free women of color had to wear it. White women were jealous, and they didn't want them showing off the hair, so they made them wear these tijons. And he painted this beautiful picture of her. He was an artist. He was very versatile. He was a lot of things. But there's a really interesting story behind that museum too.
Well, I want to move on a little bit and go back up to Natchitoches because Natchitoches, Arlene, there's a lot of stories we heard. Like, you know, when you go to Magnolia Plantation, which is part of Cane River Creole National Historical Park, like the blacksmith area of that, because everyone, Cane River Creole National Historical Park, number one is why we ended up in Natchitoches. And now they can't get rid of us. Like we got there, we met Arlene and we met everyone and went all over and said, that's it. Like this is like, you know, one of those special places, but the Magnolia Plantation, and it does have a vibe. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I heard stories beforehand.
And it's mainly at the big house. It's not on the ground so much where they have the general store and the old barn, but at the big house itself during the Civil War, I think that the caretaker or something is known to come back. And, you know, that's the haunting that they talk about is that the caretaker from, you know, the plantation during the Civil War, he was killed there, but his spirit still lives on.
Wow. Wow. So everyone, and there's Oakland Plantation and Magnolia, and Magnolia was on like a ghost hunting show or something like that too, I think.
Yeah. Shane, do you remember so much a little bit about that when they were here? I know they filmed down there at Magnolia, and they even filmed a movie with Kris Kristofferson down there called
Nancy.
Called For Sale by Owner, and it was a scary movie. I gotta say.
Well,
but yeah, just the thought of Kris Kristofferson being there. But
Yeah, I remember when they filmed that episode and the lights would come on in the slave cabins and I think it was Miss Betty Herzog told the story about the ghosts that would appear at the steps in the foyer and things like that.
Yeah, oh, wow. It was the Herzog family that still owns it, basically the main house. But all the other parts of the plantation primarily is part of the Cane River Creole National Historical Park. So
very cool. And by the way, speaking of hotels and bed and breakfast, we stayed at
Sweet Cane Inn.
Well, you guys have sugar cane in Louisiana. I keep going to sugar cane because, like, I grew up on it. It's delicious and good for you, not your dentist. But that B&B was supposedly haunted. There were some rumors of it, can we say?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of picked up a couple vibes, not saying it happened. But I don't know. I kind of think there might be a little, you know, Casper running around. You know, have you heard that about the Sweet Canaan? That maybe the sweetness, you know, on top of just excellent service from the
amazing
people.
They probably do have a spirit because it's an old house from the 1800s. But you know, it's a beautiful house and calm to me. When I worked out at Melrose Plantation, people used to say, "Oh, you're not afraid to work out here?" And I'm like, "Afraid of what?" Because sometimes I'd be out there for hours by myself alone on the grounds. I was never afraid. I was always at peace at those places because it was just a calming kind of a environment and just peaceful and beautiful property, you know?
Oh, okay. Wait. Well, let's go to Lloyd Hall Plantation. Miss Shirley, we went there and then like the story is, I don't know. Woo. And they, and, I know they do weddings and everything out there and very popular for it. And, oh, and it's a beautiful grounds are beautiful. The plantation home and I mean, all of it is gorgeous. And there's nurseries all around. It is a beautiful area just outside Alexandria. But there are some really freaky stories about this dude.
Lloyd Hall has a list of named ghosts. And of course, probably the most prominent one would be, the ghost of William Lloyd, who was the, owner of the house. And he actually built it in 1820. But William Lloyd was part of the Lloyds of London family, and lived in England. But he was a bit of a rascal and got the family all riled up at him because he was stealing money from his associates. And the family told him that he would have to, they would give him his portion of the Lloyds of London fortune if he would leave England and never return. Wow. So that's what he did. I mean, he was ousted from England, and somehow we wound up with him here in central Louisiana. And, you know, he was a rascal back then. And then along came the Civil War, and he was still a rascal. He knew that... he didn't know who was going to win the war. He didn't know if the Union Army or the Confederate Army would win the war. So he became a double spy. He would go to the Union encampment and tell them what the Confederates were doing, and then vice versa. He would later go to the Confederate encampment and tell them what the Union Army was doing. But the Union Army got wise to what he was doing and went to his house and confronted him with his double spy business. And they tarred and feathered him and hung him from an oak tree in his own front yard for all the world to see what happens to.
Yikes. No wonder he's still roaming around.
Isn't there a story about, because where they tarred and feathered, isn't that kind of near where the flag is at the edge of the driveway? As I mean, this was over about 10 years ago since we were there.
Story about,
and by the way,
now?
We're really skinny now. But anyhow, no, I'm just kidding. But isn't there a story about where he was buried, like things moving and changing or something?
Oh yes, they will find things moved in the house all the time. You know, they may have set up for a tour group coming in, and they have this house all set up with china and silverware. And when everybody sits down, there are some place settings that all of a sudden the silverware is missing, or you know, the fork and spoon have been switched sides. But it's just. Just to mess with you, let you know they're there, you know.
Wow.
So,
on his tombstone, he just put, "I'll be back."
Well, does he even have a tombstone? How about that? I mean, does he even get that? Did he get that? I mean, if he was tarred and feathered, is he buried anywhere?
I don't know. We don't have a clue. That he's not buried on the grounds, at least. I do know that. But where and if he is buried, I do not know.
Wow.
I don't know the answer to that.
Wow. Now, what about Hotel Bentley? Is that also haunted?
Well, they say that it is haunted by its owner as well, Mr. Joseph Bentley. And he was also another personality. He was a lumber baron, made his money in the lumber industry. Lumber was king in this area at that time. Hotel Bentley was built in 1907 and 08, opened in 1908. And the story goes that Joseph Bentley came into town on Saturday after a hard day of work in a sawmill, and couldn't get a room because he was just not dressed properly. He had his overalls on and he was dirty, and besides that, he had his dog with him, and this hotel would not rent him a room. So he told him that was okay. He would build his own hotel where everyone was welcome. And he built an incredible hotel. The beauty of this hotel is second to none, even in Europe. It's just stunningly beautiful. And he brought in building materials from all over the world. And the story is that, yeah, and William Lloyd never, not William Lloyd, I'm sorry, I'm jumping from stories. Joseph Bentley never married. He always lived there in the hotel and actually died on the third floor there in the hotel. And that hotel was his life, along with his banks that he owned and lumber companies. And, you know, he was a very wealthy man. But he makes sure we know that he's still around. They say he wanders the halls of the Bentley. I worked at the Bentley, I'll tell my age now, back in the 1980s. And I personally never came in contact with Mr. Bentley. But they say that late at night, they see the ghost moving about. There's also a story about a young girl who fell down an elevator shaft, and they say she is one of the characters or the ghost that lives there in the hotel.
Don't make any elevator jokes. Do not make any elevator. No joking in the elevator. No elevator jokes. Yeah, I that's kind of freaky, and especially a child, you know.
Right.
We were up in Natchitoches and went from Natchitoches, you know, doing the Louisiana no man's land. We were just traveling around and went to Manny. And it's Manny, right? Because you know how I pronounce everything so well. Manny,
yeah,
right?
You're right on.
Okay, because, you know, before I'd say Manny, but it's Manny. And we're out in Toledo Bend area, and number one, we went to De Ritter, and there's a Gothic jail out there. But is De Ritter part of the highway, Arlene? Now that I've just completely segued off of what I was going to
say.
No,
not the Jefferson Highway. It's part of no man's land, but not on the Jefferson Highway. It's all the way to the west side of the state. The Jefferson Highway primarily runs Shreveport down to Natchitoches, down to Pineville and Alexandria, Baton Rouge, and then to New Orleans.
Oh, so it goes through Baton Rouge. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, forget my stories then. Okay. But anyway, but I find it fascinating because, you know, there are stories all over where you travel, dig them up. If you want, I didn't say that. I'm going to move over. Sorry, I didn't say that either. We want to go to NSU, to talk to Shane, because there's this thing, you know, I went to boarding school and I remember having to kneel on my knees all night long for talking too much. Go figure. kneel against the wall. And then everybody would tell the story of the nun ghost. And then you know, you're like, oh, no. But at 2 a.m. when your knees are dying and you really want to go back to bed and people are literally asleep, you're starting to think about that ghost. And I kind of feel like Isabella might have a little bit of something of that in some ways for students first checking in to NSU, right?
Exactly. And I sort of feel that's how this story and this legend got started, was exactly that, by the first group of students who arrived at the university when it opened in November of 1885. You know, they're huddled together and, this old mansion that had become a convent, that had become a school. And so all the creaky noises and, you know, one of the older students, you know, they can't sleep and sort of tells the story of a nun, you know, who was there at the convent before they arrived there as students. So this legend is great. It has so many components, and it's interesting the way that the ghost is sort of alive, as ironic as that sounds, on the campus. So a lot of different pieces that span a long time. So I'll try to tell it as succinctly as possible, just because it's so rich and it's so good. So the legend is that, you know, back when NSU was a convent, there was this beautiful French maiden from South Louisiana and had all sorts of suitors. But her favored one, the one that she loved, was killed in a duel or in the Civil War, depending on what version of the story that you hear. But it's agreed upon that he was killed. So after he's killed, she goes and she becomes a nun at the Sacred Heart Convent. She's moody. She's very depressed. She's reclusive. She doesn't interact with the other nuns. And she ventures out at night weeping for the loss of her lover. And then one night during a violent storm, you know, Isabella takes a knife and she stabs herself in the heart on the third floor of the convent. And she's discovered the next morning by the nuns with a bloody left handprint on the wall where she grasped the wall as she fell to her death in the room. And so this story begins that at night you can hear Isabella, or the little nun as she was called then, weeping over the loss of her lover. So these students arrive and begin telling this story, and they're in the Bullard Mansion. The Bullard Mansion is torn down, 1913. The columns are left, which now serve as the symbol of the university. And after it's torn down, East Hall, which is a dormitory, they begin hearing things going on, you know, in the rooms, and hear crying at night and strange noises. And so they're very much determined that the nun has moved from Bullard Hall over to East Hall. And so East Hall becomes sort of the home of the ghost until it is torn down. And then at an assembly, the president of the college, he is talking to the students, and he mentions and says, you know, I'm a little surprised that the students haven't welcomed the school ghost to her new home. Which would be the music building, you know, wink, wink, hint, hint. That's the new oldest building on campus. And I'm not quite sure that he imagined the way that the students would welcome the nun to her new home. So this is 1926. We have a written account from a student who was there. She wrote it in 1929. And so the students are there. It's late at night. They're in their dorms. They're leaving for the Easter break the next morning. And so at midnight, the campus bell starts tolling. Students wake up. And they're like, oh, my goodness, there must be a fire or something's happening. So they get up and they're looking out the windows. And suddenly they see all of these students, male students, dressed up as ghosts running all over campus. And they're going and they're hitting the windows and they're, you know, scaring all of the students. And they're running in the dorms and tripping and falling over each other.
No, that's funny.
they tied the night watchman to his chair. The university president's out there, you know, trying to catch one of the students, and the girls are screaming, you know, for him to get away so he's not caught. Night watchman gets out, fires shots, you know, to scare the students off. And that is sort of the beginning of this tradition where the students are involved in moving the ghost to her new home, which would be the oldest building on campus, anytime the oldest building is destroyed. And so she lives in the music building for a while. It's torn down. And so the next oldest building is Caldwell Hall. Well, again, at midnight, and this is 1949, the horn on top of the power plant starts blaring at midnight. And so it wakes all the students up. And so they're looking to see what in the world is going on. And they see a group of students escorting the ghost to the new home, a student dressed up as a ghost with a sheet and a ball and chain. And then the next morning, they find a bloody handprint on the building with a letter from the ghost. And there's actually a copy of the letter in the university archives. And I went and found it as a student, was able to read it. And it's really cool. In the letter, the lover is killed in the Civil War. So that's the version that they decided to go with then. So 1982, and Arlene, you may have been around when this happened, when Sheila Hall burned down.
I do remember when it burned down.
Yeah. So Caldwell Hall, which was the first brick building on campus, it was beautiful too, if you see photos of it. So Isabella haunts the third floor of Caldwell. The window that overlooks the columns, which are the remains of the Bullard Mansion, is sort of her haunt and where students claim to see her in the window. So one night, Caldwell catches on fire. Firemen report that the window, the third floor window, opens and closes several times during the fire. And it's one of two windows that are left that weren't destroyed during the fire. So Isabella's window is one of those. So a couple weeks later is Halloween, you know, and the students are like, what do we do? The campus was very sad over the loss of this beautiful building. It was the main academic building. And so they decide, you know what? We're going to have a ceremony to move the ghost to her new home. So they contact this paranormal expert in California to figure out how to properly move a ghost.
Had to be California. I'm just saying, and we're from there, so I can say it. But it had to be California. Yeah. But you have a food museum down the road. I'm just saying. But anyway,
So they gather at the remains of Caldwell Hall, and then they move over to the building that's next to the columns, Warren Easton, and a student representing the ghost appears. And the university president and a group of like almost 1,000 students, all dressed up in Halloween costumes and carrying candles, escort the ghost to her new home, which is the old women's gym. And again, bloody left handprint is left. And they leave an offering for the ghost, which is a coupon for pizza. You know, that's what this is what you eat on a college campus. A bottle of Blue Nun wine, which is appropriate.
No, that's hysterical.
Funny. an NSU sweater and a Ouija board.
Oh my gosh.
That becomes the home of the ghost. And, you know, she's there. She's very much part of the campus lore, very integrated into student life there. Well, then the building catches on fire. And so they are able to save this building, unlike Caldwell Hall. And so in 2001, they reopened the building. It's part of the Department of the Interior. It's the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, called the NCPTT. Well, a guy named Robert Crewe, who was a fraternity brother of mine, he was the executive assistant of the president there. He says, you know what? She may have been driven away from all the renovation work and the fire. So we're going to have a ceremony to welcome her back to her new renovated home. So Halloween night, 2001, they have another ceremony. Students, faculty, administrators, they gather around the columns, you know, that original home of Isabella, the convent, the symbol of the university, and then they escort her back to her new home. There's the bloody handprint. And then they end up placing a plaque in the building. And the handprint that they use is the student who stood in for the ghost in 1982 for that original moving ceremony to the old women's gym, which she's now a professor at the university. She's an art professor. And so it's really cool to have that connection. And so you can go to the building and you can see the plaque, and the employees there say, you know, that they'll be in the building and they'll hear footsteps on the second floor when they know there's nobody up there. So there are still reports of things that are going on involving our campus ghost. But she's been mentioned in the student handbook since the 1950s. The 1957 yearbook was dedicated to her. She's taught in orientation. The campus map that I received when I was a student had the ghost on there. There's a portrait of her in the student union that the Student Government Association commissioned. And then during Halloween week, there's a thing called Chasing Isabella, where clues are posted, and there's a little ghost that's hidden on campus, and students can win money if they find her. And the amount decreases every day that they don't find her. And then now there's that new plaque that was just put on campus. from the Center of Louisiana Studies, the Legends and Lore. So very much a part of the campus, wow, beyond just a story. She has very much integrated into the life of that university there. And I think that's what makes it very, very special.
She's kind of like the mother in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
But all these buildings burning down raise my one eyebrow up going,
right.
You know, yeah. And the bloody hand, it's a weird segue, but going, you know, she seems like a mommy of it, you know, I'm just saying, but, I remember when we were at Kent House, plantation in Alexandria, Shirley, and, I think it was Patty or Patsy that took us around, and gave us such a wonderful tour of this plantation. The history was fascinating. And she showed
they did
where
a great job there.
They did. And there, you could see handprints of where the slaves had built these bricks, you know, made the bricks for the plantation.
Sure,
now,
built
do you
right
think
there
there's a ghost
the
there? Is there a ghost in Kent House?
They don't. The tours at Kent House do not focus on the ghosts. However, if you can get some of the tour guides off to themselves, they can tell you a few stories. And
you better have
a
lot of
$20
bills. I'm just saying. I'm kidding. Well, yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
They don't have names for the ghosts that they see, but they do have stories about ghosts at Lloyd Hall. At Kent Plantation House.
Yeah, I really hope people go when they go to the conference for Jefferson Highway and just travelers really go to these plantations,
so
because the history is, it's not something to close your eyes to. It's something to open up and learn about because it's multifaceted.
Absolutely.
It's complex. It's complicated, but it's, these places do such a good job to give you a very good understanding of what really happened and have, you know,
exactly,
historical, you know, facts behind it.
Exactly.
Now we can't all say 100% about ghosts because everybody would think we'd be a little bit loony, but I'm going to say there's ghosts everywhere.
We've had our experience as an old mountain town in California. And we moved into this cabin after a Native American lady had been living there, and she had a dead coyote head and skin nailed to the front door. And she told us that she was moving out. You don't want to do this. There's bad spirits in there. We're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And we moved in, but it wasn't shortly afterwards we had our own experience in that.
Wow.
Cabin.
Quite a few. And
more than one. And seriously, this is one night, this shadow formed over my head, and the cat went under the covers like she was frozen. And
wow.
I looked up and this smoky thing, I'm like, oh my God, the cabin's on fire. And it turned into a guy's face. And he just smiled and winked, and then he went away. So the next day, I talked to the landlord, and I drew the face, and he goes, oh, my God, that's my fuck.
That's my who?
His father.
He died on
my
the property.
Word.
So yeah. I was like, okay, that's it. I'm out of here.
But there's, I think all these places.
Weird. It was weird.
That's the thing. There's places
wow.
that have this, and it's, how can you not think about any place that is built has had someone's footprint there at some point?
Right.
You know, even animals can haunt places, you know? So I think all these stories. I mean, I know someone who writes ghost stories of the Southeast from animals like dogs, cats, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating. Katie, I wanted to go back to you because I think you had one more story for us.
Yes, how about the Burgoyne Keys House? That's one of the most haunted ones in New Orleans. Of course, the most famous ghost there was Burgoyne, who never owned the house. People think it was his house. He rented it after the Civil War. And years ago, I remember hearing the story as a kid, all this gentleman wanted to find out if there really was any haunting to the house, and he spent the night in there, and overnight his hair turned white. And when he came out, he told the story. There were two different ghost stories that people have supposedly seen in there. And one is the reenactment of the Battle of Shiloh, which was Burgoyne's first big loss. And the other one was a ball. And Burgoyne was married to his, I think, second wife in that house. And that ties into my film because my great-great-grandfather, there was a diary, and he worked with Burgoyne. And he, even though he was not Creole, he was invited to Burgoyne's wedding, which was unusual because usually the French Creole didn't want anything to do with the Americans. And my great-grandfather was a Scotch immigrant. But the story, the two things, and then Francis Parkinson Keyes bought the house later, the writer, and when she died, she had a little Cocker Spaniel and named Lucky. And Lucky died just a few days later. I guess he was grieving. You know, animals are like that. And people have seen Lucky in the house. And they've also seen him playing with a cat. And Burgoyne's children had a cat for a pet. So they think that was Burgoyne's children. The other connection with that, that's really a strange thing. Several Italian grocer or food importers owned the house at one time. And back in the early 1900s, the mafia then was known as the Black Hand. And there were a whole series of murders called the Axeman murders. And they were all Italian grocers. None of them were ever solved. They went on for several years. And the grocer would be killed in his bed at night. The doors would be locked. No one could figure out how they got in there. And they were killed with an axe. And then the murder stopped, and they don't know whether the man went to prison for something else, but he was never caught. But they were all Italian grocers who died. So, and one of the Burgoyne ghost stories also, one of the Sicilian gentlemen that owned the house had a rival, and there was a gunfight on his back porch. That was early 1900s, and he killed three of his rivals and wounded the fourth one. And they're seen roaming around the house. It has tons and tons of ghosts. The other one is Paul Murphy, the chess player. As a child, he was just a prodigy chess player. And then as an adult, he became strange and was committed to a mental hospital. And he's seen roaming around there and playing chess with his grandfather.
But, seriously, so New Orleans basically is a hub of ghosts, you know.
Oh, yes.
Spirits of the past and present get to meet, and you know, and the voodoo side of it, I mean New Orleans is known for the voodoo side.
Of them are just sort of looking after the place, kind of keeping, just like with the host
caretakers,
bed and breakfast. It was their home and they love it and they want to stay there and they want to see it taken care of. And animals, when you mentioned about the cats, so often animals seem to be more sensitive than people. Because they're more accepting, but cats especially see things.
They got the vibes. They feel the vibrations.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So that's it. So everyone, I don't know about alligator ghosts, you know, because you probably have them.
I have stories of about three or four more ghosts that live at Lloyd Hall. If we have time to slip one in.
All right. Slip one in. Come on. We want to hear
it.
No gators, though, right? I don't think you get gators there, do you?
There was a Union soldier named Harry who stayed at Lloyd Hall much during the Civil War. And he fell in love with a Southern girl, and came time for the war to get close to the end. He deserted the Union Army and actually hid in Lloyd Hall because he did not want to go back north. He wanted to stay in the South and marry this beautiful, young, Southern girl. But, the Union soldiers, when they were searching for him, did uncover him on the third floor of Lloyd Hall Plantation, where he was shot and killed. Harry was a violin player.
And they say even today, and I actually talked with some guests who stayed at Lloyd Hall, and they stayed in the main house in one of the big suites, and they said very late at night they could hear a violin playing ever so softly on the front porch.
I love it.
I know this because this happened to me talking to these guests. And I said, oh, my God, Harry was there. And, of course, I had to tell them a story about Harry. And then they were ready to go.
I bet. But, you know, it's funny because we have this term, life everlasting. So why is it such a big surprise that people don't really go away?
Huh. Right, right. Well, there was also a slave named Sally Boston who actually did the cooking there at Lloyd Hall for the family. And Sally's ghost is alive and well there. Miss Beulah Davis, who is the caretaker and the tour guide there at Lloyd Hall, and you girls will remember Miss Beulah. She and Sally Boston are on first name basis because they see the vision of Sally just kind of floating down that suspended staircase. But along with Sally comes the odor of cooking food because she was the cook. And Beulah has told me many times, she says, sometimes I'll be in this house working by myself and I know I'm the only one here. And she said, I can smell the food that Miss Sally was cooking.
Wow. So, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I know. They're there. My last little story is about Inez. And Inez was the niece of the owners of Lloyd Hall. And she actually jumped from the third floor to her death after she was jilted at the altar. And she played the piano, and that's another that people can hear the piano playing when Miss Inez is present. Even the people that stay in the bed and breakfast units, which are the outbuildings that are accompanying this plantation home, they can hear the piano music even out in the outbuildings.
Yeah. She needs to get together with the violin player.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. Well, you guys, you have so many, you know, I want to go back to the cemeteries and things. And you were talking about, you know, people dying of yellow fever and going back to earlier, I was talking about Manny on going out because we were following the El Camino Real de los Tejas National Historic Trail from Nacogdoches to Nacogdoches, Texas, goes through Toledo Bend, through Manny, all of that area, and then down through San Antonio to Mexico. But we went to this tiny cemetery that it is off the beaten path, but it is on the trail. And there were all these tiny little crosses for graves, unmarked, no one. Mm. And so that's what we were figuring. It was yellow fever or something like that probably took, you know, communities and children and no one knows. And somebody's putting those little crosses there. So did that kind of, if it hit, like Alexander, do you think it went all the way through to like through the whole region at that point?
It did. The yellow fever epidemic did cover the whole region. Yes.
Mm. So that's got to be, you know, there's got to be visiting people from that too, you know. I'm not being callous. I mean, I'm just thinking because when we were there, when you go to a cemetery, it kind of reminds you of life and death, right? Obviously, but it's kind of, you know, when you see those,
do a little investigating about some of the ghost stories in our historic cemeteries. I'm sure the people who care for the cemeteries can tell us some hair-raising stories, I'm sure.
Very cool. I want to thank you all for joining us here on our Jefferson Highway Association podcast. Again, we're here every fourth Thursday. I'm going to go back and chat with you all before we go. Arlene, in closing on this, everyone, Nacogdoches.com. All the links that we're talking about, website links, are in the show notes. But Arlene, in closing, any other stories you want to share or anything else?
No, I invite all your listeners to come and find some ghost stories of their own and share them with us because we know they're out there. We know that they're out there.
Do you think Carolyn Dorman like haunts Briarwood? I think she does.
I think her spirit is there. I don't think she haunts it, but I think that there's a spirit there. You know?
Yeah.
I think she has good reason to, because she said she wanted to be buried under a tree, and she's not. I went and visited the grave, and she's
really?
Not.
Really? Oh,
see?
That's a good reason to come back and haunt somebody for not following her last wishes.
Wow.
Now, thank you all very much for having us on tonight. And again, for all your Jefferson Highway listeners, we hope that they have safe travels and exploring and discovering the Jefferson Highway from Winnipeg, Canada, and trekking down to Louisiana and to come visit us here in Louisiana.
And everyone, jeffersonhighway.org is a website. And also they have an awesome Facebook group. I've learned so much history from this Facebook group. And it seems that there's going to be some rally that goes through as well, through your area.
Yes. Prior to the conference that starts on Wednesday at the Hotel Bentley in Alexandria on April 24th, we're going to start a sociability run in Shreveport on Monday. So be on the lookout and check the Facebook page for Jefferson Highway and find out some more details. So we're hoping Monday night overnight in Shreveport and go to the American Rose Center and hopefully trip over to the municipal auditorium. Elvis isn't there, though. His spirit
is there. That's got to have some ghosts.
Elvis left the building.
I heard that story when I was up there. But there's got to be some ghosts in that building.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of on tap. And then on Tuesday night, they'll be coming to Natchitoches. And
there's got to be ghosts at the fort.
Yeah. Can you imagine? At the fort, how many French ghosts they might have at the Fort Saint John Baptiste. But we're looking forward to it. Got a few months, to plan, and hopefully some people can make plans to join us. I love it.
That. So Shane, they're going to come visit you at NSU.
Come on,
absolutely,
come on, it's like fun.
Yeah,
thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Arlene. And Shane, thank you so much for joining us and sharing Isabella's story. I mean, wow. And the photo of her. Well, I'm going to put the link. There's a story about her. I'll put the link up in the show notes for everyone so you can see her photo, too. I mean, it's like even the photo of her, she looks blue, you know? Like, she looks ghostly. But, it reminds me of the song The Long Black Veil.
Very. I mean, there are certainly some parallels there for sure, but happy to share that. It's such a fascinating story, and it's still evolving. There are things that are still happening to keep it alive. That's why I find
think that's
it
so fun. Universities have those stories. I mean, it's like we were in Madison, Wisconsin, and they have pink flamingos, and that's a whole other crazy story. Just look up the pink flamingos of Madison. The university over there, because they like create this hill of flamingo. Anyway, it's a whole crazy story, but it's part of the history. And I think that universities and colleges have to have that fun aspect, which builds community spirit. And do you think she kind of brought people together at
NSU? People together? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it sort of got started was, these women who first came to the institution before, men started coming, they're from all over the state and they're there and it's like, okay, we're here. What do we do? And, they start telling these stories, and that's something that still happens on college campuses.
Whispering.
The urban legends, that start these conversations. A lot of them are around warnings and safety, ways to sort of scare students into making sure that they're behaving, that they're doing what they're supposed to do while they're away
apple pieing the beds means nothing now. That doesn't even exist anymore. Well, that was so
it's
baby.
All history. I mean, this is what makes history come alive.
Yeah. And by the way, in Natchitoches, they don't apple pie your bed. They meat pie your bed.
Meat
just
pie,
saying.
That's right.
Oh, that was so lame. That was lame. And everybody, if you go to Natchitoches, you must have a meat pie if you eat meat. That's fantastic. But thank you so much, Shane. And Ms. Shirley, it is always good to hear your voice, and we hope to see you real soon. And thank you for all the fabulous ghost stories. My gosh, Lloyd Hall, really, there's stuff over there. I'm just telling you, Nancy and I went there, and things got like, there's things.
That's really cool.
It's super cool.
Thank you
so much. And everyone, again,
let me invite the two of you to come to the Jefferson Highway Annual Conference in April in 2024. We would love to have you.
Oh, we want to come, you know. Listen.
We'll sign you up.
We want to go. We want to go to the conference. And it's open for, travelers who are interested, historians. Really, the conferences are fun, informative. There's the car rally. No, I call it a car rally, the sociability run, which is really an old school term. That's what they called it back in the day. That is happening as well. So check that out. But go to alexandriapinevillela.com. And then for Katie, Kathleen Walls, go for her ghost books, her ghost story books, and all our books. Go to katiewalls.com. That's K-A-T-Y. Katie, great stories. Man, I had no idea. She told me she's got a couple stories, but hey, man, I think apparently
it's
all the
researching them. Just more fun researching them, I think, than anything else.
I think you have to go to Natchitoches in Central Louisiana again. I think you're due for a trip. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. You're overdue to come back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I've been there, but I loved it, and I do want to come back.
See? I know. You got to go. You got
to
go. It's
love
cool.
To have you.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Again, jeffersonhighway.org, and keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We want to thank Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau for being a very cool supporter of this show, making it possible. So Natchitoches.com, Natchitoches.com is how it is done. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Enjoyed meeting all of you.